Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, a candidate for CCSD school board member in District 7 presents his platform.
The school board's job is very narrowly defined, and in fact, there's some explicit prohibitions about what we should not be doing that some people think we should be doing.
Plus, Winterville's Marigold Collective branches out into brick and mortar.
When the news comes at you quickly, NPR's Morning Edition slows it down to make sense of what matters. Stay connected to the facts with Morning Edition every weekday.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Local election season is underway, including several nonpartisan roles. The Clark County School District's Board of Education seat in District 7 is one contested role. Adam Shirley is the former secretary of the Athens-Clark County Board of Elections, as well as a public school teacher running for the seat. Shirley sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss his campaign. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's leading you to run for a seat on the Board of Education for CCSD?
Sure. Our students deserve the very best education we can provide for them. And the ultimate responsibility of providing that education is for the teachers who will be spending, let's face it, a third of our children's lives with them between ages of 5 to 18. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure that our students get every possible resource they can and our teachers get all the support they can. The school board has a vital role to play in that. And through my 14 years of teaching in public school, I've learned what it's like to be on the front lines. Through my 5 years plus working in local government and seeing how procedures and, let's face it, bureaucracies have to work, how slow do the wheels turn, I appreciate that and the importance of being part of a team and the consensus building that is required. No one person got us into this mess. No one person can solve the problems by themselves. And so I am the right choice for one of the people on that school board to help get us where we need to be.
And what are some key platforms or key issues that are a part of your campaign?
So the biggest one that's nearest and dearest to my heart is expanding pre-K access for students that are 4 years old and our children that are four years old in Clark County. I understand from researching this that nearly all the people that request to be placed in pre-K get that access. They get a seat, which sounds wonderful, but I also understand that the numbers show that fewer than half of the students that are under 5 years old in Clark County are enrolled in some kind of certified, qualified child care in pre-K. And so that means that somewhere near half of the students that show up for kindergarten the first day of school have never been in any kind of formal education setting whatsoever. And so I can't help but wonder if that kind of puts our kindergarten teachers in a bind because we have so many students that are prepared in some ways that other students are not. And so I want to help on the school board see what we can do to get closer to all of the four-year-olds in Clark County being enrolled in pre-K, and then see what we can do to help raise awareness of 3 years old, what education looks like for those students. I say near and dear to my heart because my son begins pre-K in Holston in August. And so I tell people that I'm speaking to, the voters that I speak to, I have skin in the game, right? It's not just y'all's kids, it's my kid too. And that's the biggest thing for me. The second biggest thing is stability, continuity of leadership. We've had six different superintendents in the past 10 years. And that's just, most of them have been solid people. It's just they've come and gone and it kind of leaves the district feeling kind of rudderless, like we don't have that very important position, because I'm hearing from many voters or many people what they think the school board should be doing is not actually what the school board's job is. The school board's job is very narrowly defined, and in fact, there's some explicit prohibitions about what we should not be doing that some people think we should be doing. So finding the right person to be the superintendent and then supporting them as a school board to make sure that they get the resources they need to trickle that down to our teachers to help our students get the education they need.
Can you talk a little bit about the Board of Education's role? As you said, if you'd like to sort of take this opportunity to let us know, what is the role of the school board?
The school board's job is to set the mission and vision, to tell the school system, hey, y'all, we're going here. This is where we're going. Let's go. And then the school board can go a little further and maybe set out some policies, like some broad contours of where we're going, how we're going to get there. But that's about as far as it goes. They then hire a superintendent, and it is that person's job to go make it happen, to implement the mission and vision, to achieve that mission and vision. And from that point forward, the school board sets the millage rate and sets the budget to help make sure the superintendent has the money that they think they need to make that happen for our students. But beyond that, that's about the extent of the role. And that's not a small thing, but some people that I've heard try to characterize this as, well, just get involved and roll your sleeves up and get in there and help with literacy or help with, you know, helping these teachers with discipline. That's a very important need, both of those things. But the school board's place is to know when to step in, know how far they can step in. And that border is very sharply defined as the superintendent. We go no further than that. And then also, equally important, this is the part that I've learned about from working on the Board of Elections and other government positions. It's important to know when to step back and let the professionals that you're paying lots of money do what they were trained to do without meddling as a school board.
What is your vision for the mission?
I think that our students deserve, as I said, the very best that we can give to them. And so that means every possible research-based, evidence-based approach that we can bring to bear to give our students the best possible start in life, that's what we should be doing. And I understand that the mission and vision is under review every few years by the school board. I'm ready to be a part of that team. I've learned the hard way from being parts of boards and other governing authorities that one person walking in full of good intentions but not knowing how team building works and how teamwork is supposed to be can really set things back. It's not about me. It's about we. And I learned, like, it sounds cliche to say that, but I've learned that if you come in wanting to, you know, knock over some chairs and burn the place down, like, that's not going to get meaningful, durable change going. We have 12,000 students counting on us to get this thing right. And so you can't do something really fast and make that happen, but it needs to be unanimous, it needs to be consensus building, it needs to be community-based, and everyone should be on the same page. And so the school board's role, I interpret our position to be to bring this out in the community and help explain why we are spending so many of your tax dollars on these things.
Finally, if people want to learn more about you, where can they go?
They can go to shirleyforccsd.com, shirleyforccsd.com, to find out more about me. I'm all over social media. I would love to have a conversation with folks there.
Adam Shirley, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for your time, Emma. Appreciate it.
Adam Shirley is a public school teacher running for the District 7 seat on Clark County School District's Board of Education. His opponent is Lily Brooks. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
Here Now brings you the latest news from around the country.
I have a life brimming with people who've made different choices, and I've never tried in my personal life to impose my choices on them.
It seems to me that people are being responsible, and yet it keeps spreading.
I've been door knocking and making phone calls and working in offices. I'm willing to do anything for this man.
Hear the latest news as it develops on the next Here and Now from NPR News.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. From elementary school to high school, students in the Clark County School District have access to not only subjects like math and reading, but fine arts as well. Dr. Dan Smith is the Fine Arts Health and PE Curriculum Coordinator at the Clark County School District. He sat down with WUGA's Timothy Goldsmith to discuss opportunities in the arts for CCSD students, what he calls teaching the whole student. Here's their conversation.
Mr. Smith, do you mind just kind of introducing yourself, kind of like what you do here at the district office and your position and title?
So I'm Dr. Dan Smith. I'm Fine Arts and Health and PE Curriculum Coordinator for Clark County School District. My job encompasses kind of helping all the what in elementary school is known as specials, middle school is known as connections, and then high school is known as electives. So working with all the fine arts and health and PE teachers to give those extra opportunities, to give places for kids to be extra creative and really expand their horizons, and kind of where we teach the whole student and, you know, really let them branch out. And what I like, my background is an art teacher, was that the arts are a place where students can come and bring everything they learned in every other class. They can bring the science, the social studies, the math, and they can put it all to work. So the arts are like an applied area, and I think that's kind of the magic of it.
When people or even students hear arts, like, they kind of know, like, art education, what typically is that?
So in Clark County, if we're talking about fine arts education, that's music, visual arts, dance, theater, so the performing arts as well. And that starts in elementary school. We have music teachers and art teachers in every elementary school. And middle school, that kind of branches out into some more specific content areas. So band and orchestra and guitar are available at most of the middle schools, along with visual art. Then high school, we have band, orchestra, music technology, theater, dance, guitar, piano, chorus. The visual arts even get more specialized. One of the high schools, we have ceramics and sculpture, as well as the comprehensive, like, drawing and painting and everything too. So lots of opportunities. We're in a really great community that's super supportive of the arts and music, so it's just kind of natural for us to be able to work with the local community and then the university community as well.
For as long as I've been here, I heard that Athens has, like, a strong music background. And does that play a part into, like, why is it important just to kind of show the different avenues that students in Clark County can take?
I think it's introduction and it's opportunities. You don't know what you don't have if you don't try it. So being able to have young students be exposed to the arts, like, as early as pre-K, right? So you could be a student who goes through Clark County School District from pre-K through high school and have had, like, visual art training for 13 years, right? So that's pretty amazing.
I just want to say thank you for taking the time just to speak with me. I truly appreciate you just coming out and taking day out your time just to speak with me. I truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. Dan Smith is the Fine Arts, Health, and PE Curriculum Coordinator at the Clark County School District. The Marigold Collective in Winterville, Georgia, has offered a farmers market and educational opportunities for East Athens students since 2020. On April 11th, it will host a ribbon cutting for its first grocery store located next to the Firefly Trail. The Firefly Farm Stop has been years in the making. WUGA's Emma Auer sat down with Sarah Hoverter, the executive director of the Marigold Collective, to discuss this milestone. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Marigold Collective?
Sure. So the Marigold Collective is a nonprofit that is based out in Winterville, and our mission is to address food insecurity on the east side of Athens, but primarily from, like, a food systems root cause starting point, where we try to address, like, a more holistic picture. So we do food distribution, but also supporting local agriculture at the same time.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Firefly Farm Stop and what it is?
Sure. So the Firefly Farm Stop is our newest project, and it is a grocery store that it will be open. We're still adding hours, but it'll be open Monday through Saturday from 8:30 to 7:30, that carries only Georgia-produced products. So it's another way for us to support local agriculture and provide a platform for local producers. We try to get as much as we can from Athens, and then we will, you know, go to Atlanta, but we are giving ourselves a hard boundary with the state of Georgia. The idea is that we have something in Winterville that's easily accessible with the Firefly Trail, where people can come to shop. And then also we're in the process of getting approved to take SNAP benefits, where we will partner with Wholesome Wave again so that people can get half off of their produce. We haven't quite finished all of the paperwork on that yet, but that way everybody can come shop at the store, and any proceeds that we get, all the revenue that's generated, goes back into our programs.
What are some of the farms and organizations that will be selling their produce and food here?
So we've got a lot of growers that are in the Athens area. We've got Fay Farm up in Danielsville. Foxwood Farm is out in Elbert County. That's the furthest one away. Then we've got Daisy Fish Farm, which is also up in Danielsville. We've got Mayberry Farm. They're over on the west side of Athens. So a lot of local growers. Sungate Farm. And then that's pretty much where our, well, Hickory Hill Farm, we have, we get some stuff from them. So we try to support a lot of the smaller farms if possible, and then fill in with the bigger farms like Hickory Hill when we can't get what we need. So it's a way to sort of like help those smaller farms get off. And then we've got other local producers that aren't necessarily growers, like Piedmont Provisions, Figment Kombucha. We have Day Spring Flour. And cornmeal and grits and all their great stuff. Let's see, we've got New Creation Soda, which we are we're pairing their sodas with ice cream from Rock House Creamery, which is in Newborn, Georgia, to make floats, and we'll have milkshakes. So, and we, Jensen Reserve is in Loganville. We get a lot of chicken from them. Oh, we just started carrying beef from Shealy Farms, which is right here in Winterville. And yeah, so we're trying to get as much as we can from Athens, and then we'll just sort of look a little bit further.
Can you tell us a little bit about where the Firefly Farm Stop is located?
It is right off of the Firefly Trail in Winterville. So if you know like the historic, you know, downtown Winterville area where the train depot is and City Hall, it shares a parking lot with those two buildings.
And it's also in the site of the old blacksmith shop. Do you have any information about what was found and how the history of this location will kind of be a part of the farm stop?
Sure. So it was actually renovated with a historic preservation grant. And they took the old blacksmith shop and they kept as much intact inside as they can. The old beams are the only things that didn't move at all. They were able to prop those up and sort of build the structure around it. They used the old siding to trim it out and kept a lot of really cool elements. There's a forge that is not functioning, but it is still a key part of it. They used all the original brick so that its historical integrity remained intact. It's just a really nice character built, did the project, and it's just a great, it's so cute. I can't even think of the right words to say. It's amazing. It's overwhelming. It's how cute it is.
How will the Farm Stop support the rest of the Marigold Collective's mission?
We do nutrition education programs with the elementary school in town, and then there's a daycare that we do a lot of food distribution through that we're also going to try to start some nutrition education programming with them. And so those two projects, along with some diabetes and chronic disease prevention programs that we do in partnership with UGA and St. Mary's Hospital, all have historically been grant-funded or donor-funded. And by having this store and generating revenue, we'll be able to increase the reach of those programs.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about what people can expect from the grand opening that's coming up on the 11th?
Yeah, so we have actually, Winterville is, there's a lot happening on April 11th here. So we have the grand opening of the Farm Stop, which will involve a few tastings from Creature Comforts is coming out. We do sell beer and wine here. We will have Southern Origin Meadery is coming down from Cannon to do tastings of their mead. We may have some tastings from Polk Vineyards, which is a muscadine vineyard down in South Georgia. And so all of that will be happening here. We'll have a ribbon cutting at 11. And also, at the same time, it's the first day of the farmers market that starts here in the park, which is right across the street. And that will be happening from 9 to 1. And then we also have a bike swap happening. So we're really trying to partner with a lot of the cycling community because we're right off of the Firefly Trail. And one of our board members is hosting a bike swap where bike vendors, collectors, shops will come out and bring like maybe old inventory or unique inventory or just something that they want to promote and just talk about stuff. They'll have some, I think one of the hub bikes I believe is coming out with maybe some e-bikes for people to try out. So it'll just be sort of like a really fun cycling day as well. There's a concert later that night that's not officially part of the grand opening, but the Front Porch Bookstore has concerts, free community concerts, on Saturday nights, and that will be the second one. Shauna and the Jaywalkers are playing at 6, and it's basically in our backyard, like we're connected by a sidewalk, so we'll be open through the concert, so it'll be a full day. There's a yard sale down at the Cultural Center, and everyone will be planting marigolds to get ready for the Marigold Festival. So there will be a lot happening here. It'll be a fun time in Winterville that day.
Yeah, sounds like you can make a full day of it. If people can't come, though, when can they come visit the farm stop?
So after the 11th, we will be open Monday through Saturday, 8:30 to 7:30.
All right. Sarah Hoveder, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Sarah Hoveter is the executive director of the Marigold Collective in Winterville, Georgia. Her organization will host a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Firefly Farm Stop on Saturday, April 11th at 11 a.m. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.